little bit of housekeeping. First of all, would you do us the favor of turning off your cell phones, please? Out of respect to the candidates and your neighbors.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Jeff Chambers. I'm the CEO of the South County Chambers of Commerce. I want to thank you all for coming out tonight to our second candidate in mayoral race forum. Tuesday, we did Grover Beach, and today we are here for Arroyo Grande. I'd also like to extend my thanks to the League of Women Voters for helping with the questions and moderating tonight's event. And moreover, I would like to thank the candidates for making the time to make it here this evening. I do want to apologize to the public for this just being a mayor's forum this evening. Unfortunately, Marlia Harmon from District 3 changed her mind at the last minute. Due to the League of Women Voters policy, Jamie will not be able to participate this evening with the exception of opening statements. Eileen Lowe had also intended to come for introductions, but due to family obligations, she's out of town and unable to join us. Without further ado, I will pass this evening's event over to Ed Cabrera, our moderator from the League of Women Voters. Give him a round of applause. Thank you.
On behalf of all the volunteers representing the League of Women Voters of San Luis Obispo County, we welcome you to tonight's forum for candidates seeking the mayor of, be the mayor of Arroyo Grande. We thank the candidates for stepping forward to represent their community and for joining us tonight. We also thank those in the audience for taking the steps to become engaged and educated voters. The League of Women Voters has always had a reputation for being nonpartisan. We will neither support nor oppose any candidate in any election. Unfortunately, as has been mentioned once tonight, one of the candidates for City Council, District 3, cannot attend, so there will be no City Council candidates participating tonight. Because of our non-partisan stance, we cannot hold a forum for only one candidate in a competitive race. Nevertheless, we have decided to give an opportunity for the candidate that did show tonight to give her statement and also to introduce herself.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Jamie Maravilla. I'm a candidate for the City Council in Arroyo Grande in District 3. I am a longtime resident of Arroyo Grande and a mother of two younger kids in elementary school, and then an older one that's an adult past college. I'm also a longtime community volunteer. I currently serve on the board of the Clark Center here in Arroyo Grande, as well as I am the current chair of the Planning Commission for the city, and I've been on the Planning Commission since 2019, and have been involved in some aspect of city service for almost a decade now. I am incredibly thankful that I have had the privilege to raise my family here in Arroyo Grande, and if I'm elected, I will do everything I can to maintain and enhance our amazing quality of life in this city. I will also try to help ensure that others can live and thrive here too. We currently have the opportunity to put forward a plan and make decisions about the future of our city. And I see that as a great opportunity to put focus on updating our streets, focusing on affordable housing, improving public safety, maintaining and enhancing our parks and recreation opportunities, and more. I was really looking forward to this evening, and I'm really upset that I'm not going to be permitted to participate. I believe that you all deserve to hear from the candidates that you are going to be representing you, and I'm angry that you are not going to be able to get that opportunity because one of the candidates decided not to come. With that being said, I plan on sticking around this evening. I will be here in the audience watching, as well as afterward. Please Come up to me and I can answer your questions as you have them. I will also be holding a meet and greet on Saturday at noon at Tribe Coffee House on Grand in Arroyo Grande. Please come, have a cup of coffee with me, and we can talk at that point in time as well. Thank you for being here and being engaged. I'm sorry that you will not be able to hear more from me tonight.
Our aim is to give our audience as much time as possible to hear responses to the questions that you have submitted. Therefore, we shall carefully manage the time limits on the candidates' responses. We apologize in advance. We remind you that a candidate forum is not a campaign rally. It's an informational forum to be conducted with civility and decorum. Helping us with this important task of limiting time is our volunteer timekeeper, Cynthia Pretzel. She will raise her paddles to tell them, the candidates, when they have 1 minute left on their time, then 30 seconds, and finally, when they must stop because their time has expired. So she is situated where the candidates and I can both see her easily. We ask that the audience realize that any reaction to a candidate's remarks, even polite applause, may be disruptive and may distract them from using their time effectively. So please refrain from any interruption. These limits on the behavior of the candidates and the audience were amongst the rules set forth in an agreement all participants signed before the forum. In addition to the limit on audience reactions, the candidates agreed to refrain from wearing any campaign attire and to discourage their supporters from doing so as well. The intent of these rules is to ensure the decorum and neutrality of the forum so that attendees can focus on the issues. We have four league members who you've already probably met assisting us as what we call greeters and runners tonight, and we thank them. They are Leslie Brown, Sharon Ripner, Joe Gusley, Lorna Glenn, and Linda Busick. Thank you, ladies. They have 3x5 cards that they shared with you to provide questions for the candidates. And if you raise your hand and you have an additional question, you may do so and they'll come to you. Please, only one legible and pertinent question per card. The question card will then go to the sorters. Our sorters tonight are Joanne Schultz, Alex Carlin, and Nancy Sweet. They will choose the questions that best address the topics without repetition and within the realm of the candidate's jurisdiction. The more concise, legible, and topical questions shall be considered for selection. We keep the cards afterwards as they become the property of the League of Women Voters. We are sorry we don't have the time to share all your questions because the forum is limited to 60 minutes. The candidates will be responding in order drawn by lot prior to the forum. Opening statements will be limited to 2 minutes. Answers to the following series of questions will be limited to 1.5 minutes. There'll be an opportunity for candidates to give a closing statement. Closing statements will be in reverse order of the opening statement. So who you see giving the opening statement will be second in the closing statements. The candidates for the office of mayor of Arroyo Grande joining us tonight are Karen Ray Russom and Gaia Powell. Again, welcome, ladies. Let us begin with the 2 minute opening statements from the candidates in an order decided by lot earlier in the evening.
Well, thank you all for coming and giving me an opportunity to share my vision and the reasons that I'm running. And never in a million years did I think I'd be running for office after being Arnold Schwarzenegger's chief of staff while he was running for governor. And I helped him, you know, prepare for that and put the team together. So it was an amazing experience. And that was after working about 25 years in the entertainment industry. And I'm now in the C-suite corporate level for the heads of Universal Studios, Warner Brothers, et cetera. I grew up in Thousand Oaks, California, and I ended up moving up to the Central Coast in 2006 because my father was having health issues and I really needed a break after Arnold won because I had no intention of being involved in politics anymore. I thought I was experiencing white sharks in the entertainment industry, but politics is a whole nother sea. So I am shocked to be here. I am not a politician. The reason I got involved is because I'm very concerned about the direction that our beautiful city is going in. And I'm concerned about the millions being wasted and some of the cultural, social justice policies that I don't think should be in our city government. I am a constitutional candidate. I believe that the Constitution is the bedrock of our country, and I think we need to make sure that we always honor it. And I feel like the current administration of our city makes a mockery of our flag and our Constitution and our liberties. I believe that we need to restore America from every city all the way up to the White House with our values and what's important to us, and that we are one, we're united under one flag, and we just need to do as best we can and continuing to evolve in a positive direction together. We've come a long way and we have a long way to go, and I'm very excited about the future. I know that it will be bright if we all take action and exercise our rights, and I'll be stopping.
Karen. And if you think I'm being a little casual or informal tonight when I address them, it was how they wish to be addressed. Karen.
Hi, everyone. First, thank you to the South County Chambers and to the League of Women Voters for bringing us this forum. And I, too, am sorry all the candidates are not here, but at least I am confident that you will leave with a crystal clear understanding of who's running for mayor. I'm your mayor, Karen Ray Russom. You know me. I was raised here with Arroyo Grande's small town values of community, kindness, respect, and appreciation for heritage and history. But make no mistake, the purpose of this forum is for you to get to know these candidates. And you already know me, but many of you don't know my opponent. It's not like me to attack. I strive for peace and calm in all I do. But you do need to hear the unvarnished truth. I've lived in our city for 45 years. My opponent has lived in the city for 26 months. She moved here just days before she ran in 2022. Since I've been mayor, I've earned 3 significant awards for service. In 2020, I was awarded the Rotary International's Paul Harris Service Above Self Award. In 2023, I was awarded Cuesta College Foundation's prestigious Honored Alumni Award. And also in 2023, I received Santa Maria High School's Teacher of the Year. In that same period of time, my opponent has made a name for herself by disrupting city council meetings again and again, subjecting staff and council and audience to heinous imagery and hate speech, and has shown hardcore pornography at the Board of Supervisors. My opponent has brought toxicity, disruption, and venom, not only inside our chambers, but outside. Your choice was clear in 2022. Your choice is crystal clear in 2024.
Now, we decided to rotate the order that the candidates will answer their questions. So since Karen was second in the opening statement, she will be first to answer the initial question of the evening. And that is, how do you plan on addressing affordable housing?
That is a great question. And I don't have a pre-prepared answer on that, but it is quite clear that we have a lot of possibility here in Arroyo Grande. First of all, we have a project that's coming forward with Haslow at the corner of Oak Park and El Camino Real. It is my deepest hope that that comes to fruition. More on that to come, but suffice it to say that will bring many units, dozens of units, into Arroyo Grande that are affordable housing. We also have infill space on Grand Avenue, and that will come as part of the general plan to have a discussion with you of what kinds of things you want in that infill. And I would bet that that's a great spot that Arroyo Grande will be looking for some high-density housing, some of that housing that is sort of missing from our housing stock. We also have areas of possible expansion in the city, perhaps across the street from the high school, or other infill lots where we'll be able to get a sort of mix of types of housing. But either way, this is something that I care deeply about, because each and every one of us, including me personally, has the younger generations who we want to be able to come back here and, like us, be raised here with Arroyo Grande's hometown values. So I stand for that. I will work very hard to try and bring that to fruition.
Gaia, same question.
I think that affordable housing obviously is very important. I have lived in California my whole life, and I'm not sure there's ever been affordable housing. But I think that it's almost virtue signaling. It seems to come up every time that there's an election, but yet little is done about it. I've heard it for decades, and I don't see a lot of affordable housing to this day. Obviously, multi-use projects would probably be the best option, in my opinion, but I also think that we need to do what's best for Arroyo Grande, and I feel like some of the elected officials are more concerned or obligated or wanting to please Governor Newsom and our state dictators, basically. And if cities and counties don't comply, they can actually be sued or attacked by our own state government. So I think it's a much bigger, more complex subject that we cannot actually address this evening. And I would love to, you know, have a situation where we could do a more deep dive and a more realistic, planning, development, et cetera, with developers in the room so that we can all have a creative problem solving and work together as a community to make sure we absolutely protect Arroyo Grande and its way of life, because we also don't want to make mistakes just because of dictates that are coming down from the state. And just really quickly, I moved into the city limits because I wanted to run for mayor, but I have another property that's outside of in the unincorporated area, so I have two properties. So it's a little bit misleading. I've lived here for many, many years. I'm a volunteer. I'm the executive director of the Arroyo Grande Village Improvement Association, so I'm very invested in the future of our community, which I absolutely love and want to protect. Thank you.
Gaia, one of your constituents is curious. They want to know, who are you endorsed by?
I'm endorsed by the Republican Party. I haven't asked for any endorsements. I do not ask for campaign contributions. I don't want to feel obligated to any special interest. I don't want to have to pay out of state, or not even out of state, but out of our local jurisdiction consultants. I don't want to be obligated to anybody. So I've decided not to take any campaign contributions, and if anyone wants to help me by buying signs or printed assets that I design myself, they're welcome to contact SLOCO Data, and they'll be happy to fill your orders.
Same question, Karen.
Thank you. I appreciate this question because, really, when you are in one of these seats, you are electing us to leverage our relationships on your behalf. And endorsements are evidence of relationships. And I have relationships across the aisle, all over the county. So I'm just going to give you a few, because I jotted some down right before we came here. So from Dems, I have Supervisor Don Ortiz-Legg, Mayor Pro Tem Jim Guthrie, Councilmember Kristen Barnich, Councilmember Kate Sechrest, Mayor Erica Stewart, Colleen and Glenn Martin. There are also several people in the audience. There's just not enough time. On the Republican side, I have former Assemblymember Jordan Cunningham, business owner Greg Cottrell from Rugged Radios, the partner from Mason Bar and Kitchen, Frank Shiro, John Hackelman from The Pit, even former Supervisor Lynn Compton, Bruce Blair, who's realtor from and person who is behind Cops and Kids, I have the endorsements of the Aurora Grande Police Officers Association and the Five Cities Fire Authority Local 4403. I want to be clear that that shows you how seriously I take this job of representing everyone and making relationships with everyone. I also want to add that I know 100% for a fact that my opponent has not been endorsed by the Republican Party.
First question for you, Karen. As an Arroyo Grande citizen, infrastructure and road repair are important to me. How will the city continue to complete these projects?
I was hoping they had a suggestion in there. No, I'm just kidding. And this is definitely going to be a place where you're going to see a difference between the candidates. The fact of the matter is, we just don't have the budget to be able to do what we need to do to keep our aging 100-year-plus infrastructure and 70-plus miles of road to the degree of satisfaction that you expect from us. Times have just simply changed. And my opponent is not wrong when she speaks about the dictates that come from California. We have to do so much more with less. So when people ask us, why can't you just do what you've always done? Why do you have to ask us for more? That's a piece of the answer. So again, she's not wrong. Inflation is another piece of the answer because inflation moves faster than property tax raising does, so that affects our bottom line. That's why this time around I am supporting E26. It is the sales tax measure, and I don't want to go too far into it because I'm going to guess that there's going to be another question on that. But for now, I do want to say that it's not lost on me that that is difficult for people who are on fixed incomes or lower incomes. But the bottom line is, if we don't fill a gap where right now we can take care of our pavement at about 20% of the money we need for that, that other 80% is going to come somewhere. I would much rather have the people who visit here, the people who shop here but may not live here, help us pay that bill. And sales tax is the fair way to do that. If we don't do that, it will eventually catch up with us, and you're going to end up having to bond out for it. And what that means is that the residents pay 100%. I don't think that's fair. We have a town that has lots and lots of visitors. Let's have everyone pay their fair share.
Gaia?
So, obviously, infrastructure and retaining even city staff is very important, but the infrastructure, protecting what we have and also making sure that we continue to have a safe community is very important as well. Getting the money from the state for the road repair, again, we're at the mercy of the state. I believe in the sovereignty, and I think that we need to really take serious what our Constitution protects us from, and it's from government overreach. And it's unfortunate, but I have to address that the mayor actually lied. I am endorsed by the Republican Party. Others have stepped forward and offered to endorse me, but I haven't accepted any endorsements because I already answered that question. So again, the roads and the infrastructure, these are topics that are talked about at every election and every campaign, but yet it just seems to continue to go down the same rabbit hole. And why is it that we need to raise taxes? I mean, the mayor has been in politics locally since I think 2005, and I'm a businesswoman. People hire me to go into their companies to re-engineer them. I assess them, I interview all the employees. I try to figure out how to turn the ship around, and that's what I would do for the city of Arroyo Grande, because I know that there's a lot bigger issues. Roads are very important. Our schools are also important. The reason I've disrupted some of the meetings is because I found pornography, very graphic pornography, that I've shared with the city council and the board of supervisors, and I don't expect them to go, demand that all the books be pulled out, and I've heard that it's not their jurisdiction, but it's everyone's moral obligation to put a stop to child abuse and at least speak against it. And the fact that our city council and our supervisors don't have the courage or spine, except for Debbie Arnold.
Hey, recently, some inappropriate, what some considered pornographic materials were shared in a public gathering. That raises the question, what guides you when making decisions of judgment?
What guides me is what my parents taught me, the difference between right and wrong. I had heard about pornography in our schools, that and it's this horrible, horrible cult that has been spreading across our country. And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, there is no way that this crap is in our schools. So I decided to go over to Arroyo Grande High School during lunchtime, and Asha got in the library. And the librarian shared it all with me. I was horrified. It was very upsetting. It was devastating. And it's my mission to make sure that pornography gets pulled out. It's very explicit. And if anybody wants to see it, email me, and I'm happy to email it to you. I have copies of it out by my table, but you'd have to ask me. And it is disgusting. The content is disgusting. And the mayor is a teacher, you know, and she obviously supports this. She's said that, you know, she won't speak against it. So I don't care who you are. If you're not speaking against it, you're complicit. If you do nothing, and all of this horrific material is in our schools. And some people will try to call me a bigot or a homophobe or a racist or whatever your name, the name calling is. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make sure that their constitutional rights are protected and that we protect the constitutional rights of all children. We should stop all bullying. It has nothing to do with a specific group of people. Nobody has more rights than others. So the porn that I found isn't just regarding one group, mainly the LGBTQ community. It is there's porn, there's heterosexual porn, there's pedophilia, there is incest, there is erotica. So everyone needs to wake up and go to a website called Take Back the Classroom, and you can actually see what's in the books. And I also have the library catalog link, and if you would like to look up any of the books and look inside, please do. And you tell me.
Karen, same question.
I believe the question, that the part that was for me, is what guides my decision making. And when I'm sitting here with my mayor's hat on, what guides my decision making is trying to balance everything that comes at me as mayor, and it's a whole lot. And what I'm trying to really balance is where the needs of the city are today and where the needs of the city are in its future. And so today, some of what we need is backfilling budgets. Some of what we need today is making sure that we can take care of what we have today, the infrastructure we have today, the streets we have today, the buildings we have today, the festivals, the sports, the classes that you all come to expect us to provide for you. That weighs heavily on me, and that guides me. Then as we start looking at what's coming next, I think what I'm really looking for is not only what I want next, but for what you want next. And as we go forward in our general plan, the general plan guides my decision making, because citizens before me, citizens before you, not before Guthrie, he's still here, he was on the general plan, but that is our North Star. That's what we're supposed to use to make decisions on your behalf. So we're coming forward with that document again soon. I mean, we're in the middle of it, excuse me, right now. We need you to participate. Please go to planarroyogrande.com. Please find out how you can get involved and let us know what it is you want for the next stages of our city for the next 3, 5, 10, or 20 years. Our last general plan lasted us 24 years. This one's likely to go the same. They're expensive and they take a long time. But that is what guides me, because you have told me what you want. You are my North Star.
Karen, if elected, what would you do personally to help all residents of Arroyo Grande feel welcome and accepted in our city?
I think I would do what I continue to do. And as you all walked in, some of what you saw on my table out there were pictures of me out in the community. And I think part of what makes people feel welcome is people feeling heard. And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on. It doesn't matter if we agree or disagree. It doesn't matter if it's a vehement agreement or disagreement. It's really just making sure that everyone feels like they're welcome and valued. I do want to tell a very quick story here because it's one that surprises people. John Hackelman is a local business owner. He is my political opposite for sure. And I absolutely adore John Hackelman. And he and I have had knockdown, drag-out discussions about everything from Sacramento, which is a little easier to agree on, and down to the pride flag and all other things. And you know what? What we always find is we always find we are both trying to solve the same problem. We're just coming at it in different ways. And when you can see that about your community, and you can literally shake someone's hand and look them in the eye who has a different point of view than you and say, welcome, I welcome you, I value, I might even learn something from you. I think that from the top is what permeates all the way through the city. So in that way, it's continuing to do what I've always done.
Gaia.
I feel like probably everybody in this room, maybe a tiny little margin, would disagree, but our town is incredibly welcoming. And the divisive attitude and reality that has gone on the last few years, basically since 2020, is because that the city council does not spend their time updating the general plan, like that's their job. They're supposed to be running the city. It's a land use agency, basically. But instead, they've wasted, I think it's going to be about $1.2 million on an out-of-town consultant to help with the general plan because they didn't keep it updated. And then they've spent another $20,000 for a DEI consultant, diversity, equity, and inclusion. So that's where that just completely goes off the rails. That doesn't belong in our government. Any kind of social justice policy, which the city actually has, and it states that it doesn't treat everyone the same, and that they will enforce it against the citizens and the visitors. We don't need that. We don't need divisive elected officials. I am not a puppet for anybody. I'm not a puppet politician. And I, like I said, I'm not here to make friends with people. The reason I was going to run in the first place is because of the fiscal mismanagement and irresponsible just spending on all the special interests.
We're halfway through. And I want to thank you for showing the respect for your fellow neighbors. But a big thank you also goes to the candidates for a prime example of civil discourse. Gaia, a question for you. This is a question dealing with the tax measure. How do you plan to fund needed improvements if it fails?
I will do exactly what I've done every time a business hires me to come in and assess the situation and re-engineer it. And once I can get under the hood and check out what is possible, I am an amazing creative problem solver. That's why I am hired by some of the top companies and people on this planet. And I'm very proud of my record as well. So I think that I can't even answer that question because I need to know what went wrong. And I really have to be able to get in there and figure it out. Like, why do we need more taxes? We are being taxed to death and regulated to death. And in fact, even with the affordable housing, it's regulation that's killing the housing department. And our economy is a joke. So we need to protect our sovereignty, in my opinion. Arroyo Grande can be sovereign, but we have to have the courage to stand up. Did I get cut off? It kind of went off. Okay. So I think we need to stand against government overreach, including local government overreach. Our local government does not need to tell us any other flags should be hanging on our city property or any kind of public property that we pay for. I don't care what the flag is. They try to make it very controversial about the LGBTQ flag, but that is an ideology, and that's against the law. So we can't hang a Christian flag. We cannot hang the Star of David. So everyone should really do a lot more research research of the manipulative policies that, because I'm not running, it's a...
You can finish the sentence. But go ahead, Karen, your question?
Oh, just, I think it's about the policies. Like, we need to reverse these unconstitutional policies that have nothing to do with land use or managing our city.
Karen?
Thank you. Well, the question was about the tax measure, so I'm going to focus back on that. So E24, we first proposed a tax measure back in 2020, and both myself and one other council member chose not to back that. It needed 4/5 vote, so that killed it, because I really wanted to make sure that we were being business friendly while we were in COVID. We were not even looking at coming out of it at that point. Fast forward, I also wanted a 2/3 vote, which would have restricted that money for whatever we said that was going to be. But unfortunately, that just wasn't something that was in the cards. That failed. Now, fast forward another few years, and again, regulation, not a lie, but we absolutely have pavement that is degrading faster than we can get it fixed. So we have to do something. If the tax measure doesn't pass, I genuinely don't know what we're going to do. But it's going to be drastic, because all of the things that my opponent is talking about cutting are one-time monies. And we need that funding to come year over year over year over year. So you can get under the hood. The hood's public. There should be a plan already. The hood's public. You can get under there and look right now. The budget's public. But we can't cut our way there. So just without losing something we all want. So it's going to require serious cutbacks if we don't pass that.
Karen, you're first to field this next question. If elected mayor, will you consider bringing public comment back to 3 minutes?
I knew this was coming. The short answer is yes, but let me be clear. Most public comment still is 3 minutes. That's been misrepresented. So we do have general public comment at the beginning for items not on our agenda, which we have reduced to 1 minute. And the reason we've done that, like many, many other agencies around our area, everybody is struggling with what to do with general public comment because, in essence, it just isn't working anymore. The easiest thing to do for entities is to move general public comment to the end of the agenda, because if you do that, people generally won't stay around and you're not going to get public comment. We talked about doing that. Grover Beach has done that. Lucia Marr has done that. What we ultimately decided to do was we decided to keep public comment at the beginning so that the general citizen who was coming to talk about something we didn't know about could come at the very beginning. But we also asked them, be clear, plan your comments, be concise. We can always follow up with you. It's not the only time we can talk to you. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. And if we find after trying this out for a while that we just can't get enough done with that, then sure, the council is always going to look at how we do business and how we can do it better.
Yeah.
So does anyone know what the First Amendment is? And it's to protect citizens so they can actually air their grievances to their elected officials. And if they don't like what the elected officials are doing, they can elect new officials. I have been speaking at every public comment session at the city council meeting since April. And on average per year, there's about 7 people. If you take all of it, I have a chart out by my table that you can check out the actual data. So this is obviously a discriminatory action against me and others that would stand up and finish some of the speeches that I had written. So it's absolutely hilarious to me that Karen has proven that she's a dictator and that she does make a mockery of our constitutional rights and tramples all over our liberties because it's not convenient for her to hear grievances. And the grievances are about the millions of dollars that they've been wasting, and then maybe we wouldn't need a tax increase if our city had been managed properly over the last, you know, decade or more. And it's about the identity politics policies, and it's about the flag policy, and now we have, then it's about the new taxes, and it's about the First Amendment rights that they're trying to deprive us of.
Drea, people often talk about a vibrant and revitalized East Grand. What does a vibrant East Grand corridor look like to you? How do you plan on making that a reality?
I would love to creatively put the right people in the room, creative people, along with developers and the community. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us to really improve our city. I feel it should be multi-use, you know, just going kind of, you know, taking, if you would turn back time and picture what the village looked like with most likely people living above all the shops and restaurants and all the merchants buildings there, and have that continue, you know, past the freeway. And I think that would be a great improvement. It would offer more housing for folks and more business opportunity. I'm all about, you know, supporting the businesses, particularly small businesses, which a lot of small businesses reached out to me during COVID and the lockdowns and the horrific outcome from that. And I advised them to not lock down. I said, you know, this is against our constitution. The government does not have the right to practice medicine on us. And even the mayor told people to get injected with an experimental drug. And is that in her jurisdiction? That's between a patient and a doctor. So some of the businesses needed to be there more than ever during COVID. It was like there was fast food open.
Same question, Karen. The revitalization of East Grand.
Yes, how would I make East Grand Avenue more vibrant? So I started jotting down some, I wasn't ready for this one, so I just started thinking as my opponent was talking. And the first thing I wrote was walkable. And one of the problems with East Grand Avenue, as we well know, is it's a thoroughfare. It gets you from one place to another. So with some good design, we need that to be walkable. We need that to actually be truly pedestrian friendly. We need to have outdoor spaces, and we need to have it be bikeable. And something near and dear to my heart, we need art, because art gives us a sense of public space. It gives us a sense of purpose. It gives us a sense of identity. And when I say art, I'm not necessarily talking about murals. I'm also talking about things that are structural in nature. That could even be buildings. So when we're talking about East Grand, that's different than the village. And when I say that we had to have an eye on now and an eye on the future, that's part of what our general plan update's going to help us understand, is how far can we push that in areas that aren't the village? So I think really what that comes down to is seeing what kind of a mix we can bring in to the East Grand Corridor, not only in the infill, but through redevelopment. Again, walkable spaces, public art, residential being mixed right in with commercial, outdoor public spaces, and perhaps even some place to just sort of congregate, have festivals that go beyond just being in a parking lot.
Small businesses have been mentioned tonight. How do you plan to support the small business community, Karen?
Thank you. I work with our small businesses often. In fact, I work with them so often, I can't remember the last time there was an election where businesses had my sign in their windows, and that is happening this time. And that is part of my hard work that I've been doing downtown with the village business owners. So let's start in the village. What I'd really like to see, and what I have already been speaking to our village business owners about, is forming a business improvement district. It's long overdue. There's all kinds of sort of happenstance groups of volunteers that have various memberships, but they've ultimately failed over the last few years in being able to get a critical mass to get anything done. And a business improvement district is self-imposed, self-regulated, and self-taxed. In other words, it's not a tax that goes to us. It's business owners that choose. It's basically a forced membership for them. They write bylaws. They get a club. They get to do something. You can have that in various areas around the city, but that's one way that I would work on that.
Raya, same question, please. Certainly. How do you plan to support the small business community?
Well, I already do, and I just find it comical that I have to talk about something that she mentioned last time, that she wants things to be more art related, though she voted against the gallery, the beautiful art gallery that has gone into the village. She voted against that. So that's just interesting to me. And I also find it amusing that she wants to dictate, like, it's a forced membership for a business association in the village to get organized, and they will be funding it, apparently, their organization. So if it's going to be anything like the TBID district, the tourist business industry district, that was a disaster a few years ago, and that was one of the, another reason that I got involved is because of the mismanagement of that district, the conflicts of interest, the wasted money, the no direction. Sometimes only two of the advisory board members would show up, and so I would really try to focus more on the city being a lot more friendly to new businesses. I have dear friends of mine that own small businesses in the village, and one of them just put up this had a local artist paint a beautiful painting of Willie Nelson, and the city threatened her instead of like reaching out to her and talking to her about any type of possible violation. So it's just an interesting perspective over here.
Oh, yeah. This school year, there was an anti-trans demonstration as the dismissal bell rang at the high school. As mayor, do you intend to participate in disruptive demonstrations adjacent to social or to school district property?
What demonstration was that, recent?
Arroyo Grande High School.
Okay, but this year? Because yes. I actually...
This school year, so was according to the question.
A different last school year. Okay, so I helped organize a demonstration in front of Arroyo Grande High School to remind the children that are not in the LGBTQ community that they also have rights, because a lot of the parents had reached out to me and were concerned about boys being in the girls' locker rooms, and then of course I found the pornography, and so I felt like I really needed to educate or help. Organize citizens who wanted to go over there and demonstrate to remind the other children that they have the right to protest peacefully against unjust laws. So girls, you know, all children have the same rights. There's no special group of children that have more rights than others. And so I wanted to educate them on that they should know that, and that they should stand up for their rights, and if they feel like their rights are being violated, that they have the support behind them, that they can speak out. Because I was hearing from parents that the girls were being not ridiculed, they were actually being punished, you know, for complaining about the boy being in the locker room with them. And so I just think that's appalling, and I don't think that girls should be in boys' sports. So I think it's a conversation that we should have as a community to make sure that all children are protected from all type of bullying. And that's the other thing. It's like we're so focused on these shiny objects that divide us, when we should be coming together and making sure all children feel safe.
Karen.
Can you please repeat the question?
Certainly. This school year, apparently I've been corrected, it was last school year, there was an anti-trans demonstration as the dismissal bell rang at high school. As mayor, would you participate in disruptive demonstrations adjacent to the school district property?
No, of course not. That's ridiculous. And I hope you all noticed she didn't answer the question. And that's important, because that's not the role of mayor. And it's not the role of mayor for me to educate other people's parents or other people's students. That's absolutely outside the purview of what my job is as mayor. I hope you will allow me to continue to do the job as mayor, because my job is ceremonial in nature. I've been accused twice now of being a dictator. There is no dictator. I can't do anything without at least two other people, and on some votes, three other people. So while I am the ceremonial head, and a lot of people think the mayor has a lot of power, we really don't. It's very ceremonial, although I do have the power to run a meeting, I suppose. But that's just not the case, and it's not my job to dictate anything to anyone. It is my job to represent you fairly. It is my job to run meetings with decorum and efficiency. And it is my job to do ceremonial items like ribbon cuttings and those sorts of really fun things that I get to do. And it is absolutely not my job to tell you how to run or live your life.
Karen, what will you do to stop out-of-control fireworks in AG? My neighborhood is a war zone for 2 weeks around July 4th. It is unlivable. My family has to relocate because of the noise and smoke.
I wasn't sure if that was the end. This is so hard. We deal with this every year. Some cities have banned fireworks. They still deal with out-of-control aerial fireworks. They are illegal all over the state of California. Some cities have safe and sane fireworks legal. We are one of them. And we, too, have issues with aerials that are not safe and illegal. It's very, very, very difficult, and especially for a small town like ours, where we can't have police in all places at all times. It's really, really hard. And it's very difficult when we can't prosecute if a police officer has not witnessed something being lit off. So it's almost impossible to regulate. We do the best we can every year with public outreach. We do the best we can with public education. But in the end, the availability of the illegal fireworks and the ease through which you can get them from the internet or just over the border of California makes that an almost impossible task. I genuinely feel for our people who have PTSD, our people who have pets who suffer, but I can't magically make those go away. I can empower the police to the best of our budget abilities, and that's what I try to do.
Gaia.
So I think the air conditioning is on, so if my voice starts to quiver, it's because I'm cold. So I think that what Pismo did, they put up big electronic signs and put up a $2,000 fine. I think because it is a safe fireworks city, apparently, I guess that needs to be addressed, maybe reconsidered. But I think that people can use their phones. I think they can report illegal fireworks, or even if it's safe and legal, then I guess there's not much you can do unless you actually change that policy. So maybe that needs to be considered. But I think the fines, I think the citizens, you know, trying to make sure that anyone who is doing anything illegal should definitely be recorded or reported. Thank you. And again, I just think that coming together as a community and talking and seeing if there's creative ways that we can help solve this. When I was growing up, they used to allow fireworks to be at the local high school on the playing field. So families, you can come out with the safe and legal fireworks and just, you know, light them off there, you know, in a safe environment. And then we have some different campuses that maybe we could use for that, or maybe some parking lots. You know, I think there's some creative ways to solve problems.
Gaia, someone wants to know, how important are youth nights and safety in Arroyo Grande?
Can you repeat that?
Certainly. How important are youth nights? Well, I'm sorry, youth rights.
Youth rights, okay.
And safety in Arroyo Grande.
I think everyone's rights are important. So I don't think that any, I think the problem with our country and maybe some of our communities is that there's so much distraction that's dividing us and trying to group us together. For instance, when someone says the LGBTQ community, that's not a community. Everyone's an individual. I have many gay friends. I was in the entertainment industry. I worked for one of the top executives in the entertainment industry, and he was gay, and one of his best friends was David Geffen. I don't care what anyone's doing in their private life. And so when it comes to children, I don't think that they should be sexualized. And I also just don't think it's fair to them to lump them into a community instead of celebrating their individuality. And I don't think that adults should be influencing any kind of a sexual orientation or discussing their sexual preferences with them. I think when I was growing up, that would have been outrage in the community. So I think that we need to come together as a community and just make sure that all children feel safe. I actually went to the police department when people were claiming that, you know, certain LGBTQ kids were being targeted and, you know, they were being threatened, and the police said, no, we have a very welcoming community. You know, we haven't even had any reports like that. But there is bullying, and there's always going to be people that maybe don't fit in. You know, I was one of those kids. You know, I was a tomboy, and I'm glad that nobody tried to convince me that I was anything other than that.
Karen.
I'm not 100% sure the context of the question, how important are youth rights and safety in AG, but I can say that all children should feel safe in their own communities. I did prepare a statement with regard to the pride flag, and I wanted to answer it in a certain way, so I'm going to actually use that statement now because it's about youth safety. So rather than hearing from me, I want you to hear what I've heard around the community regarding youth safety. As a parent to a transgender teen in Arroyo Grande, I think Gaya Powell is dangerous. Her inflammatory rhetoric puts my child in harm's way. The next quote is from a 15-year-old student who spoke to the city council. As an LGBTQ youth in this city, it would mean the world if raising this pride flag wasn't such a huge deal, because I can guarantee nothing bad will happen from this, and all that will happen is I'll feel more at home and accepted in this city. And finally, from another teen that spoke to the city council, I cried after this meeting, after I heard this comment. I feel afraid walking around the parks and Grand Avenue. I feel afraid for my life sometimes, because it is true that those people who see us as evil could maybe be incentivized to do something. I don't want that. I know nobody here wants violence. And if I were to get stabbed to death, if I were to die, that flag being raised would remind me that the council here would not let my death go unnoticed. And that is hopeful.
It has come time for closing comments. So, final words?
I think it's me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So, in the end, politics is relationships. I build them. And my opponent doesn't. I exemplified this for you with my endorsements that go across the aisle, and I'm talking from way left all the way to way right. I care deeply about people, and my relationships and my endorsements prove that. To be mayor is to be the ceremonial figure of the city, the person who's a champion, a cheerleader for our businesses, for our community, our festivals, our history. The person tasked to facilitate public discussions that are orderly and productive and safe for all to attend. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to show how it's done. I thank the Chamber and the League of Women Voters at the beginning, but now I'd like to thank a couple of people individually. First, Jeff Chambers, the CEO of South County Chambers. He didn't change his name just for us. Without him, this would not have happened. And I don't know how much bourbon he drank in the last few weeks, but we all owe him a bottle. I hope you all drop something off at Jeff's office to say thank you. That was a thankless effort. And to Shelley Higginbotham, who went to bat for our candidates who wanted to participate tonight but couldn't due to League of Women Voters rules. We all understand, but she really did try. And to all of you, I'm grateful you took the time out of your personal lives. I mean, I'm a junkie for this stuff, but you took time out of your personal life to come down here and make the best decision you can for your community. And no matter who you vote for, me or my opponent, if you do it intentionally and with fidelity, everything's going to be okay. And even if you and I might vote differently, process is everything. Thank you for bringing integrity to the process by attending and becoming informed. You are all leaders. Tell everyone what you think.
Gaia, your final words.
I do want to thank everybody for coming and everybody that was involved in organizing this wonderful forum. As I mentioned earlier, I am not a politician and I am not here to make friends. I'm actually here to help protect, restore, and improve our community. And I'll just read my candidate statement. Arroyo Grande is my home. I will utilize my 30 years of business operations and marketing experience to preserve its heritage, charm, and cherished way of life, while strategically anticipating and proactively leveraging change without raising taxes. This takes strong common sense leadership that welcomes dissenting views and robust debate to achieve optimal resolutions that best serve Arroyo Grande. We are a constitutional republic. This is not a democracy. It's not mob rule or popular sentiment rule. I will restore American values to Arroyo Grande by repealing discriminatory DEI policies and policies that deprive citizens of their First Amendment right. I will stop billions in wasteful spending and holding our leaders accountable by following our supreme law of the Constitution. The Constitution is a safeguard and a guide that protects our freedoms, prosperity, safety, health, and happiness while addressing federal, state, and local government overreach. It also protects Arroyo Grande assets, resources, independence, and its citizens' fundamental liberties. I am dedicated to fiscally responsible governing and creative solutions. And I'm going to get cut off here in a second, so I'll do the best to finish. I am determined to remove pornography from the local schools and protect parental rights. Community goals are successfully accomplished through education, open dialogue, appreciation for those who have made great strides, as well as by encouraging passionate critical thinkers to join that collaboration.
Thank you for your comments. I also want to thank Shelley Higginbotham from the League of Women Voters for all your behind-the-scenes work. Another thank you to the participants tonight for being ideal candidates who are committed to limiting their comments to the issues and respecting each other and the audience. And a final thank you to you, the audience, for questions that are reflective, engaged, and informed voters. Thank you for joining us tonight. Buenas noches.
Thank you all for being engaged and coming out tonight. We do appreciate you coming out. Have a great evening. Drive safe.